This is by far the most amount of estrogen that you've ever had on this podcast.
Frick yeah.
Tap and Step, your premium Texas high school football podcast from your friends at Dave Campbell's Texas Football and TexasFootball.com. I am the Tep Greg Tepper.
I'm the Pick Ashley Pickle. Whoa!
What are you doing here?
Well, I thought about shaving my head and trying to look like Step. But
you should have worn the backwards cap.
That would have been a great touch. My head is really big, though. I don't know if the backwards cap and the headphones would have worked.
Yeah.
But Step's got a dome, too.
Step does have a dome. You guys are in the big head club.
So are you. VNA is the only person here with a normal size head.
VNA Moreno, our intrepid producer over there. Hi, VNA.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Oh, we're doing great. Thanks for joining us here on a very special edition of Tap and Step featuring Ashley Pickle.
What did your wife say we were going to call it? Pick and Tick?
Yeah, Pick and Tick or something like that.
That rocks.
Just awful. I was like, honey, that doesn't make any sense.
I think it makes perfect sense.
I don't. Listen, I'm surrounded right now. This is a tough week for me. Everybody, please pray. This is your week 11 final regular season preview edition of Tep and Step. We do thank you for being a Dave Campbell's Texas Football subscriber or for just watching this for free on Friday, in which case, here's Ashley Pickle to bully you into subscribing so you can listen to the podcast.
Yeah, what are you doing? So you're not getting the subscriber feed, nor are you getting access to Dave Campbell's Texan Live, and I take both of those things very personally.
Yeah.
Rude.
If you're watching this for free on Friday, get a subscription to Dave Campbell's Texas Football as a wedding present for Ashley Pickle.
There we go.
That feels like a winning message.
And here, two, you get me a wedding present when. Mm-hmm. Two, you get access to all the playoff games we're about to stream.
Exactly right.
When.
Everybody wins here. Coming up here in just a minute, we're going to take a quick breezy look through week 10 of the Texas high school football season. Then we will get to our week 11 game draft. But we will start, Pickle, as we always do. Mm. With your Texas High School Football Fun Fact of the Week, presented by Community Coffee. Community Coffee supports and celebrates the thriving communities at the heart of Texas High School Football. Community Coffee, strong as our roots. Discover more at communitycoffee.com.
See, I actually do drink coffee. So, like...
So, this is not...
Community
again,
Coffee,
it's
me.
In here. I mean, yeah, I'm like Community
Why
Coffee.
Do you give it away? Ruins the allure.
I'm sorry.
Of the great Community Coffee.
This is Community Coffee. It's just in a different... I like to keep it warm because it's going to be like an hour and a half podcast.
That's fair.
It is very cold.
Ashley Pickle, yeah, your Texas High School Football Fun Fact of the Week.
Okay. Hit me.
We are heading into the playoffs. Mm-hmm. That has nothing to do with the Fun Fact of the Week.
Okay. Disregard.
Ashley Pickle, who is the active leader in winning percentage among all Texas high school football coaches? Who is the active leader in winning percentage? So I'll give you a hint. For example, the answer is not Dave Hennigan. Mm-mm. Dave Hennigan has an outstanding 85% winning percentage, right?
Is it Mark Fannin?
It's not Mark Fannin.
That's a really good guess,
Mark
though.
Mark Fannin is fifth. Do you want one more guess?
Yeah. I'm trying to think of someone who's fairly new to head coaching and hasn't lost. Is it a first-year head coach?
It is not.
Okay.
Oh, I'm sorry. Minimum 50 games, I should say.
So okay, not, that yeah, changes. Because I was like, games. Some people are in their first year and they're 9-0 right now.
That's true. Minimum 50 games.
Minimum 50 games.
So really, you got to think at least their fourth year, right?
That's why I thought Fannin.
Yeah. Fannin, by the way, Mark Fannin is 64-7 at Franklin.
Yeah, that's insane. I don't know.
Rocking a 92% winning percentage from the Southlake Carroll Dragons, Riley Dodge is 88-8. 88-8. He has a better winning percentage than Tim Phillips at Austin Regents,
okay,
and Gary Joseph at Katy, as well as Kevin Hoffman at Mart and Mark Fannin at Franklin. rounding out the top five.
All right, I got a top five, though. I feel good about that.
I got to tell you, number six, and this just tells you, number three is Gary Joseph.
Yeah.
Obviously, that's impressive because
that's insane.
He's been doing it forever.
Yeah.
Number six is Brandy Allen.
Okay, so I originally thought that you were going to ask, about longevity, mm-hmm. and I was going to go, oh, it's going to be Randy Allen, because, mm-hmm. Even Highland Park's, winning percentage as a team is, the highest one.
Yeah, it is.
But, yeah, that's interesting. RD, who would have thought?
There you go. Riley Dodge, your winningest coach as far as winning percentage in Texas high school football. All right, Ashley. A little trip down memory lane for week 10 of the Texas high school football season. And I know that you were really locked in.
Week 11.
I'll say it again. A trip down memory lane.
Oh, excuse me.
For week 10
Your premium.
Of the Texas high school football. This is the premium stuff you pay for. Premium producing.
Adjust your camera to make you
premium
pretty.
Production. I know that you were largely locked in on the games that we were featuring on Dave Campbell's Texas Football Tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Friday nights. So I'll just limit to that. Of those games from week 10 that you guys were locked in on Dave Campbell's Texas Football Tonight,
mm-hmm.
what stood out to you? Which games really caught your eye from that perspective?
So first off, starting off on Thursday night, mm-hmm. we spotlighted Pflugerville-Weisen College Station.
Yeah.
That one was fun. I watched that in its entirety on Thursday night from the comforts of my abode. What College Station did was very impressive.
Yeah.
Very. Aiden Martinez Brown, which this is not the first time that we've seen this. I don't know what it is about him, but he's got this switch that when the playoffs start rolling around, that son of a gun just flips it.
No, he's a dog.
And he's got that dog in him when it comes to playoff time. That was disappointing by Weiss to give up what was a 17 or 21 point lead. I think it was 17.
They gave up 27 unanswered in the third quarter.
Yeah. And so that was shocking. But I mean, that had huge ripple effects on how that district's going to finish. Now Pflugerville-Weiss is going on the road to Houston for their first playoff game, which is not going to be fun.
No.
But out of all of the games, that's the one that really stuck with me last
week. Yeah, that game was obviously really, really important. And for the big comeback there for College Station. We did not have it on Dave Campbell's Texas Football Tonight, but other games that caught my eye. Corpus Christi Flower Bluff, heart-stopping win over PSJ North on basically a missed extra point.
Mm-hmm.
A wild overtime win for them. I'm ready to declare.
I do declare.
I think Munster might be the team to beat in 2A Division 2.
I think so, too.
That win over Collinsville is really impressive. That on the road.
Big stuff.
It was really, really impressive. Now, we could get a rematch in a regional final, but I think those two teams look really good for Munster. You know, in what feels like a wide open 2A Division 2, that feels pretty certain. Not certain. What else? Oh, Graham.
Yo,
goodness gracious.
Oh, yeah. When we popped up that score, I think you had already left Texas Football Tonight at that point, but we popped up that score, and I legitimately had to stop and go, is our app wrong? Is this a mishap? Because when you see a shocking, goose egg.
If somebody's up 420-69, you know what I mean?
Yeah, nice.
On the app.
I would assume that one was correct.
I would assume that's correct.
But when you show Graham absolutely blanking him, I was there's no way that's got to be wrong. And then lo and behold, I was man, the Steers are nothing to mess with at that point.
Their defense is stout.
Very good.
I still think that, I'll just say this, right now it does feel like you could probably, in my mind... And look, this is a dangerous thing to do on November 4th. I think you can pencil in Graham versus Carthage in a state semifinal.
Which rocks.
That feels very...
That's banger.
That's they feel like clear favorites in their regions.
You know the other one that was just more from that dominating shocking was Lake Belton and Georgetown?
Yeah.
Dude, Georgetown has figured it out. I mean, absolutely figured it out. What's the freshman's name?
The running back. The running back?
Yeah.
Jet Walker?
No.
No, the other one.
There's a different freshman that's really stepped it up for him. But anyway, they looked incredible.
Yeah. Georgetown's figured it out. Their offense is hitting right now. It's in all cylinders. And then we talked about Fort Bend Hightower last week. Ridgepoint gets a really impressive win. We talked about Klein Kane and Tomball. There's a Saturday game. Yeah, no, a fun week. In a week that we didn't, I don't think we necessarily expected to be like a real fireworks factory. It ended up being a lot of fun.
Yeah, no, it was funny because we were sitting there and Mallory was texting us like different score updates just to say, and there was multiple of them where I was like, whoa. This week had no point having some bangers in it.
Yeah.
And yet here we were.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a good week. Good week. Anyway, there's your week 10 recap. Put that in your pipe and smoke it. It's time for your week 11 game draft, the final game draft of the regular season, but not the final game draft of the year. Maybe the final game draft for Ashley Pickle, depending on how this goes.
You can't get rid of me. You've been trying to get rid of me for 5 years, and here we are 5 years later sitting on this podcast.
I'm trying.
Actually, November 1st was my 5 years. I didn't realize
that. Is that right?
Now. Yeah.
Happy anniversary.
Thanks.
You made it.
Celebration.
It felt like 50.
But you know what? Here's the thing. I mentioned this on the last episode of Tap and Step. That's why you don't tell Brooke stuff like that.
Yeah,
because
I know.
She'll just get you a cake, and I know you don't want a cake.
I don't want cake. I don't like sweets.
Absolutely.
So I just hush, hush.
Keep it around. Anyway,
yeah.
This is your week 11 game draft. If this is your first episode of Tap and Step, welcome. It's normally another dude sitting here.
But we upgraded.
Here's how it works. Pickle and I will go back and forth selecting games that we are most interested in. Most interested in. That is the phrase that pays. And so, if you, for some reason, want to select, and Step usually does the thing where he picks a random game, but if you, for some reason, want to pick Sims Bowie versus Detroit.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, I think is a playoff game. I think it's like winning in. Actually, you know what? I'm sorry. Then you can. We'll do five rounds back and forth, and then we'll pick a hipster game of the week, which is a game that's off the radar. We'll find out what V&A wrote down, and we'll find out where Pickle's going, et cetera, et cetera. I wrote this down. There is a district. It's the Detroit and Sims Bowie district. 9-2A Division 2. Okay?
Okay.
It's Cumbie at Celeste, and it's Detroit at Sims Bowie. Okay? Both of those games are winning in. There's
wow.
There's two teams that I've got that are in there. Let me see if I can find. You're listening to live coverage of me looking up the Detroit district. Just what we thought we were going to be talking about on Tap and Step.
I came prepared.
9-2A Division 2. Okay. So, Maud is in. Maud's 5-0 in district play. They're going to play Lyndon Kildare this week, who's winless, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Clarksville is in. They're in the barn at 5-5. They're 5-1 district.
And they're idle this week.
And then you have four teams: Cumbie, Detroit, Sims Bowie, and Celeste, who are all 2-3, and all four of them will be involved in win and end games.
Which is crazy because Celeste and Sims Bowie are both 2-7 on the season, mm-hmm. and Detroit is 2-6.
Can I tell you the other thing that's crazy? Both those games, the computer has is 10-point games. Like, both
that's
of them.
Wild.
It is a weird district. Anyway, 9-2A Division 2 is your hipster district of the week. But we will go back and forth selecting games. We did a coin flip for the show. Pickle won the coin flip.
Big dog.
And so, here with the inaugural pick in the week 11, the final first pick of the regular season. We won't have a first pick until August. That's a really tortured thing to say. Here's Ashley Pickle with your first pick. What's pick 1-1?
Let's go 7 o'clock Friday night at Bill Anderson Stadium in Stamford.
Oh,
okay.
Coming out swinging.
Yeah. So the District 4 2A Division 1 title is on the line between a battle of unbeatens in the Holly Bearcats.
A battle of unbeatens in week 11.
That's insane.
I know.
And the Stamford Bulldogs. So for Holly, the whole name of the game in this game to me is defense. Both of these defenses have been outstanding. Holly's outscoring opponents 320-82. Stamford's outscoring opponents 444-46.
Almost 400 points they've outscored their opponents by.
Yes.
In 9 games.
Isn't that insane?
Pretty good. 398
point differential.
Seems pretty good.
Both teams have had 3 shutouts, so defense is where the eyes are going to be on here. But it makes it fun because offensively they're both doing really, really well too. Obviously for Holly, it's the bevy of Abels that are leading.
Yeah, just all the Abels.
All the Abels. So Keegan Abels, the quarterback, is in his third year as a starter. He's already thrown for over 2,400 yards, 28 touchdowns. He's tacked on 500 yards on the ground, 8 touchdowns. He's doing what we have seen him do for the past 3 years. But Camden Abels, the sophomore tight end, mm-hmm. he has been one of his go-to targets. Makes sense. They probably grew up playing catch, I would assume.
Probably.
But Holly has an incredible offense. Obviously, Stamford has had no issues on that. I think this one comes down to who can have more of the splash plays. I think from a Stanford or from a Hawley defensive perspective, you have got to stop the run. Their senior fullback, Kasten Vega, he's a little water bug, but boy, if you let him in open space, he will make you pay. So my eyes go, hey, how can Hawley stop the ground game? And on the other side of that, how can Stanford stop the lethal passing attack that Hawley's coming in there with? But that is some hard-hitting two-way football, and they might not be the biggest guys, but the trench play in this one is going to be incredible.
So it's number one versus number five in 2A Division One. And I think you're spot on this, is that I think that for all the firepower these two teams have, I do think the defenses are really leading the way for both of them. One of the other things that I'm fascinated by is a couple weeks ago, you remember, we had Panhandle versus Sunrise.
Pointy.
And that was a 2A Division One, Region One sorting game, right? Here's the other one.
Yep.
Here's the other matchup of this that is basically, let me make sure I understand the brackets correctly. But if you take a look at the 2A Division One brackets, the way this works out is that, like, we're going to find out. Those four teams are all going to play each other in the area round.
Yes.
Okay? Hawley, Stanford, Panhandle, and
Sunrise.
Thank you. Yeah. Sunrise. How can I forget them? They're going to play
They're
going to play each other. So, the loser of this game, almost certain. Things can happen with Sunrise, although I think, and certainly Stanford and Panhandle, they could.
Oh, bye, China.
I don't think they are. Bye, China.
See, I listen to this show.
Bye, China! She stopped and waved. Bye.
Oh, solid.
It's great, we did it. The loser of this game plays Sunrise, and the winner of this game, their reward is Panhandle.
Like, that
sucks. So, like, it is like there are huge implications here. I think I like Stanford, but one of the things is that, like, for Stanford, they're a team that we saw them. They got really, really hot at the beginning, right? They drubbed Albany. That was when we all sat up and paid attention.
Yes.
They followed up with what ended up being a nice win over a De Leon team, right? Good De Leon team. Since then, though, they've kind of been kind of quietly just bludgeoning people.
Yeah.
I think you can kind of say the same thing for Albany, because Albany, you remember, they beat Hawley. They beat Albany the next.
They've
the
both week. Played Albany, though.
They've both played Albany. They both played De Leon. They both have common opponents. I think that what I've seen from Stanford is their offensive diversity, I think, and Kasten Vega gives them a little bit of an advantage in this one. And the ability to run the ball, I think, gives them an advantage. Plus, they've got the dual-threat quarterback, Christian Duran. I like Stanford in a close. This game's in Stanford?
Yeah.
I think being at home helps.
I think being at home helps. I'm going to disagree, though, and I'm going to go with Hawley.
Okay.
Because I don't think, as good as the Stanford defense has been, I don't think that they have faced a team that has a passing attack as much as Hawley, because Hawley is very dual threat. They can go either way with it, but I think that, and I also think that all the Ables have the big game experience too.
I think if you're going with the team with the superior quarterback, I think it's Hawley.
Yeah.
I like
if you're looking for one, if you're looking for the team that can get the splash play, that's Hawley.
I like Christian Duran a lot, but I think that Keegan Ables would be the better quarterback in that one. I agree. I think there's a coin flip game. We're on opposite sides of it, but another sorting game as we get into Region 1, 2A Division 1. Good pick.
Thank you. That's like my only like actually good football game pick. The rest, buckle up. We're getting weird. It's week 11.
She's like, Hebronville.
Yes. Here we come.
My pick, Ashley, let's go 7 o'clock Friday night at Turner Stadium in Humble.
The big dog game.
I wish I could watch this game somewhere.
I think you can watch it. Here she comes.
Oh, Takes a Live.
What?
I don't know. I'm here, so now she's feeling country.
As the Humble Summer Creek Bulldogs welcome in the Galena Park North Shore Mustangs in 2 versus 7 in Class 6A. Let's get this out of the way. There's basically nothing on the line here.
No.
There's a district championship on the line for North Shore. There's an undefeated record there. From a like functional bracket perspective, nothing going on here. North Shore going to Division One. They've already locked up the number one seed. Even if they were to lose this game, they have a head-to-head tiebreaker over Tuscaloosa. They're the number one seed. Summer Creek locked up number two seed or number one seed in Division Two. Mm-hmm. They're going separate ways. They'll never see each other again after this game.
Right.
And also, this game, I think, will tell us a lot about both of these teams heading into the playoffs. Summer Creek has the one loss in the year to Atascocita, where they fell behind huge.
21.
Made a huge comeback. Was it 35-7 and a half? Might have been 28.
Yeah.
Getting their rear ends kicked.
It was 21-0 at one point. They scored, and then they scored again, so it took it to that 28 or whatever.
So they massive comeback. They end up getting beat by Tory Blaylock at the end.
Mm-hmm.
Well, kind of similarly, North Shore did this to Atascocita, right? Where they were kind of behind, ended up coming back. North Shore and getting leaning on their superstar, specifically Caleb Bailey, to come up with big plays down the stretch to beat Atascocita. I think that this is a spectacular quarterback matchup, mm-hmm. Caleb Bailey versus Blake Thomas. I want to know how healthy Tory Blaylock is, because I know that has been, or not Tory Blaylock, the running back for Summer Creek. You're listening to live coverage of me looking up who the running back for Summer Creek is. Because I think that he's really important. I think Braylon Causey. One of the things I'm concerned about with Summer Creek is they are very reliant offensively on Savas Blake Thomas.
Yes.
Like Blake Thomas is their alpha. He is their guy. I think that one of the reasons why Atascocita was able to have success on North Shore was that Cardae Mack was excellent in that game.
Yeah,
but Tory Blaylock was, he was even though he was banged up, he was very effective, and even their backup running back, they were able to run the ball. I think to get past this North Shore defense, they will need to have Braylon Causey have a big game. They will need someone other than Blake Thomas to have a big game in this one. The other side's really interesting, too. Because the Summer Creek defense, essentially outside of the Atascocita game, has been excellent.
Oh, yeah.
Been lights out. Chad Woodfork and company, that defense has been spectacular. This will be, I think, the most versatile offense and the most star-studded offense that they face this year, with guys obviously Caleb Bailey, but DeAndre Hardiman, Quanell Faircon, the guys they've got out there. A lot of this again comes down to who is the second option, who is the second guy for Summer Creek. The other thing is, and maybe this is the spoiler alert for when we start talking about the playoffs. North Shore's offense, when it's going good.
It's going good. Yeah.
It's not always going good.
But to be fair, I feel like North Shore's been like that for years now. Like, even some of the best North Shore teams that we've seen, when it is operating, they can beat literally anyone in the state. But there are times, and I'm not going to... They never really have, like, a bad game, but they are definitely a team that will mess around for the first couple of quarters, and then they come out at halftime, and they completely destroy you. The other thing that I think plays a little bit of a factor in this one is the fact that when we saw Summer Creek play Atascocita, they one had not allowed a point the entire season up to that point. That was the first time that they played anybody that came out and punched them in the mouth.
True enough.
And so it shocked them. And then you saw what happened in the second half. They got back into it. Kenny Harrison, whatever he went in and said, was like, hey, pull your head out of your butt and let's get back to it. And they did. They almost beat Atascocita. Mm-hmm. So I think now that they have gone up against teams like that, see, King's a good team. Mm-hmm. You know, Kingwood is a surprisingly great team. Now that they've done that, I feel like they're heading into this one not concerned about getting punched in the mouth for the first time. So I think that does help. I think North Shore is going to win, but I think it helps.
I think you're right. I think they're coming in eyes wide open. Another thing to keep in mind, North Shore has won 50 straight district games.
Seems good.
50. They have not lost a district game since 2017. I'm picking against a streak, even on the road at Turner Stadium.
North Shore can't get caught looking ahead, though.
I don't think they will be. And the reason why is that, like, I think that it's easy. respectfully, whoever North Shore plays in the first round, they're going to be heavy favorites over. So I don't think there's anything to like look ahead to.
Yeah.
As long as North Shore comes out focused, I think that they win this game. But if Summer Creek's going to do it, it's got to be Blake Thomas and.
Mm-hmm.
It can't just be Blake Thomas, because as great as he is,
yep,
he can't do it alone. So I'm taking North Shore and Summer Creek as my first pick. What's your second pick? Pickle.
Pickle's picks. It's already working better. Sorry, Matthew. All right, 7 p.m. Friday night in Montgomery ISD Stadium. It is Nederland at Montgomery.
Oh, you're getting kind of saucy here. Okay.
If you would have asked me 2 weeks ago if I ever would have had my eye on this game, the answer would have been no.
No, why would you?
Why? Because you go back 2 weeks ago in Mid-County Madness, mm-hmm, where Nederland, they do it. They take down the reigning state champs in one of the, if not the best, rivalry across the state of Texas.
Mm-hmm.
And you're thinking, all right, shored up. That's good. They're done. Nederland's going to win the district. We start going, oh my gosh, this might get actually super crazy, because mm-hmm, Port Neches Groves now might be facing their what has been recent arch nemesis in South Oak Cliff in the mm-hmm area round. And we're going, man, how unfair is that, that we have to get that game in round two mm-hmm after realignment? Well, then last week, Nederland goes and they mess around and lose to Huntsville.
Now, I want to be clear about something.
Yes.
I want to be clear about something. I think Huntsville's a decent team.
They are.
I think
they're 4-2.
I think it's a good district.
Mm-hmm.
With that said, you're right. It feels like for Nederland,
it was their Super Bowl.
That feels like they spent a week maybe reading their press clippings.
Yes. They went and they won the Super Bowl. And so it was like, all right, easy sailing after here. Well, that's definitely not the case. So you lose to Huntsville. Now you're looking at Nederland being 5-1 in district play. Port Neches is 5-1. Huntsville is 4-2 and Montgomery is 4-2. So stick with me here.
I'm sticking with you.
If Nederland wins, they will be outright district championships.
Correct.
They completely own their own faith here. They also have the head-to-head over PNG, all of that stuff. If they lose, you're looking at a 5-2 Nederland squad.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then Port Neches Groves is playing Dayton.
They're going to beat Dayton.
All due respect to Dayton,
yeah,
PNG is going to beat Dayton. So you're looking at now PNG and Nederland both having a 5-2 record, on mm-hmm top of the fact that if they lose, that means Montgomery wins, and they are suddenly 5-2 in district play.
So you could have a four-way log jam.
Three-way
log jam.
Yeah.
At 5-2.
Yeah. Well, Huntsville's playing Splendora, so they would be 5-2 as well.
You'd have a four-way log jam at 5-2.
Yep. So this one has, again, Nederland completely seals their fate. But basically, if Nederland loses this one, then PNG fumbles backwards into winning the district championship.
Yeah.
And so, yes, all of that would stink for Nederland. So there's a lot on the line when you're talking about basically handing your arch nemesis a gold ball because mm-hmm you messed up the week after. On top of that, then you're looking at SOC in the area round.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Which is the worst thing ever.
Yeah,
PNG gets the district championship, and you have to go up against SOC. All of that depending on a weird Nederland versus Montgomery game in Week 11. That's box office stuff.
It's very good. I think this is not fair. I like this Montgomery team. Mm-hmm. I think that I don't think they're an accident. I don't think they're an afterthought in this one. I think that what they've been able to do in the games that matter is worth mentioning. Like, it's a decent Montgomery side, and I think especially some of the playmakers that they've got, I think they've been really reliant on running the ball with Reggie Williams. And if they're able to run the ball on Nederland, then I think that they're going to be in business.
Mm-hmm.
I think this week has probably not been a lot of fun to be in Nederland. I think
nope
as much fun as last week was,
mm-hmm,
I think this week has been basically the polar opposite.
Yep.
And Scott Rich is a Gary Joseph guy.
Mm-hmm.
I think he has been on them all week. I think he's going to have them focused. I think they get a win. I think they pull it out of the ditch.
I do too. I think
But there's a chance. I mean, I want you to think about this. I don't know what the tiebreaker is. There's a chance they can go from first to fourth.
Literally.
In 1 week.
Yeah. It's wild. I think what you do is you hand the rock to Hubert Thomas and you let him do.
You gotta let him do it.
You gotta let him cook. There's no other way to do it. Throw what you know, run the eye, hand it off, maybe hit him with a play action every now and then, but hand the rock off to Hubert Thomas.
By the way, let me just put this in perspective, because there's a lot for Montgomery to play for here as well. Because if Montgomery loses this game, they're finishing fourth in the district.
Yep.
Do you know what that means?
I don't, actually.
First round at Texas High. Okay?
No,
so I want you to think about that drive.
Yep.
Montgomery to Texarkana.
That's insane.
First round
against
on the road
good Texas
against what's going to end up being, respectfully to Nacogdoches, an undefeated Texas High team that is rolling people right now.
A lot to play for.
A lot of intrigue there.
So anyway, there's my...
We'll be keeping an eye on the...
weirdo game.
My second pick... I almost said Matthew. Ashley.
I was waiting for that to happen.
It didn't, though.
It was bound to happen
once. Everyone knows it didn't
We still happen. Have a lot of picks.
Don't worry. Let's go. 7 o'clock Friday night at Red Raider Stadium in Winnsboro.
All right. I like it.
As you have a top 10 matchup. Where are these teams ranked? You have a top 10 matchup in 3A Division 1. It is number 1 versus number 7 as the 9-0 Malakoff Tigers welcome in the 8-1 Winnsboro Red Raiders in a game that will not be for the faint of heart.
No.
Let me tell you something about both of these teams. And actually, I want to start with Malakoff. Malakoff's the defending state champs. And I think they have largely... I think in many respects, they've largely been like a passenger all year in 3A Division 1. And part of it certainly is because I think that their schedule has not necessarily... Like, they haven't had that big high-profile game.
No.
They beat Grandview, but this is a Grandview team that's good. It's not the Grandview team of old.
Normally, that schedule of Lorena, Madisonville, and Grandview all in back-to-back weeks would have been gruesome. And Madisonville was good at the time.
Madisonville's a 4A.
And they beat them by one.
And Madisonville's a 4A. And Lorena is a 4A now. They're having a rough year. And then Grandview, again, that's a kind of a weird rivalry now because they've played each other so much. That game ended up being, you know, like, they're just better than Grandview. But since then... They've gotten into district play and they've just annihilated their district.
Oh yeah,
they've been nothing to pay attention to for about 7 weeks. They have lost the number one ranking in the state. They have regained the number one ranking in the state. They have just been kind of snip, snap, snip, snap. But let me tell you something. One thing that this Malakoff team can do, they can play defense.
Yeah.
They've given up 8 points a game. They have the number one scoring defense in 3A Division I. Their defense has been excellent. Oh, and by the way, offense. Pretty darn good as well. I don't know if you know this. They have a quarterback.
Who?
His name's Mike Jones.
Mike Jones?
But Jason Tennyson has stepped in at the running back spot and been terrific for them as well. They've got playmakers all over the field. They have reloaded. Like, the defending state champs have not gone anywhere. They're really solid. Well, here comes, in many respects, their first huge test of the season in Week 11... taking on a Winnsboro team that can flat out score. Okay? Winnsboro, I have this pulled up. Do they have the number one scoring offense in 3A Division 1? They are the number five scoring offense in 3A Division 1.
That wouldn't make sense because that would be Columbus.
Columbus is
because they are the number one overall.
Overall. Well done.
Haha.
But Winnsboro can score. And the dudes they've got, Camden Capehart, the wide receiver spot, has been electrifying. They've got a running back in Tyson Johnson, big offensive line led by Peyton Turner. Nolly Carroll, their quarterback, has stepped up in a big way. They are box office. And this is a huge test, I think, for this Malakoff defense. They have, I don't want to say they're empty stats, but Malakoff has largely just pummeled a bunch of teams they're just a lot better than.
Yeah.
Here comes a team that I think can bow up to them. And you were talking a little bit earlier about Summer Creek and Atascocita, that was the first time that anybody had really punched Summer Creek in the nose.
Yep. And we saw the effects.
Winsboro is going to punch Atascocita or going to punch Malakoff in the nose.
Now that would rock.
Don't punch Atascocita in the nose.
Anyone. Bad idea. But especially not a 3A school.
Winsboro is going to punch Malakoff in the nose.
Yeah.
What happens then? I think Malakoff's your favorite. Mm-hmm. They're the number one team in the state for a reason. And I think that they can cement themselves as minimum the co-team to beat in 3A mm-hmm. Division One. You know, and I think right now, I think we're probably careening towards Columbus and Malakoff in the title game. That's my take.
Which, again, inject that into my veins.
My thought here is, for Malakoff, this is, in many respects, this is a prove-it game.
Oh, yeah. Well, and we know Jamie Driscoll personally. Mm-hmm. If I am him, I'm going, thank goodness.
Yeah.
Like, thank goodness we are about to play a team that is going to punch us in the mouth. Because the absolute last thing that, like, yes, a district championship is on the line. Mm-hmm. But it's not the playoffs. If you lose this game, you're not done. Your season is not done.
Correct.
You can take that. You can shape it into an L that you learn from and then keep going. If I'm Jamie Driscoll, I am welcoming this fight.
On the road against a good Winsboro team that can certainly be. And by the way, there are people in Winsboro who will tell you that this is a matchup of unbeatens. Because back in week one, and I've received so many emails about this for the last 2 months. Back in week one, Winsboro played Tatum. Okay? And the game ended up ending after halftime. Yeah, like right at like third quarter because of weather. And Tatum was up 29-14.
Mm-hmm.
Or they only played a half or something like that.
I thought that.
I haven't heard this. Like, I've heard multiple reports. But here's the rule for us.
I thought the stadium lights went out or something.
Winsboro's claiming that it was a scrimmage. They agreed that it was a scrimmage. Mm-hmm. Tatum is claiming that it was a win.
Oh, that rocks.
Okay? So, we get this every once in a while here at Dave Campbell's. And mm-hmm. we have to have a rule. We have to be the adjudicator here.
Yeah.
And so, our rule, plain and simple, it's just black and white. Did the game get to halftime, yes or no? If the game got to halftime, we considered an official game.
Mm-hmm.
This game undisputedly got to halftime. They played a half. They played for 24 minutes. So if you guys can't agree on what it was, if you guys both agree it's a scrimmage, it's a scrimmage.
Mm-hmm.
But if you can't agree, we're going to go by that.
The rule.
So we call it as a loss. Winsboro fans are not happy with me about that. But those are the rules.
Are the rules.
Sorry, them's the rules.
Because if we didn't have that, we would really get screamed at.
We had to institute that a couple years ago.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, it ends up being like a who do you believe
for. I remember when that happened.
And it's just like, it's just not worth it. So we came up with the rule. Did it get to halftime? Yes or no? We go from there. If it did, then we go by the scoreboard. Anyway, all that's to say, Winsboro Malakoff is going to be fantastic and tell us a lot about 3A Division One. What's your third pick, Ashley?
Let's go 7 o'clock p.m. Friday night from Brian Brazel Stadium.
Ooh. You are, you know what?
Oh, yeah.
You are really, here's what I appreciate about this. You are taking the game you are most interested in.
Literally.
To a real clear degree. And I appreciate that.
It's funny because if it was any other week, I don't think I would have done it. But there is not a better time than week 11 to do that.
Oh, absolutely.
Because this is the only time that you can care about some of these teams, knowing that, like, all due respect to Flower Mound and Hebron, mm-hmm. which is where we're about to talk about, mm-hmm. I would be literally shocked if one of them ended up in the state championship.
Correct, absolutely. Yeah.
I would be
very surprised.
Jarringly shocked.
I would be very surprised.
Okay, so here's another wild Zach Galifianakis math gif going on. Yeah. So Coppell and Marcus. Mm-hmm. Yep, there it is. Soak that in, V&A. Get you some of that.
Go on.
I'm just going to leave it on a shot of pickle for the rest of the show.
Thank you. Oh, no.
Go on.
So Coppell and Marcus are playing tomorrow. Coppell obviously should win that game.
Tomorrow?
Friday. Sorry, yeah. It's Monday.
This is on tape, by the way, if you guys didn't know that. Go on.
We do TFT on Thursday, so usually I'm used to talking
True
to you
enough,
about
yeah,
games
yeah.
on Thursday.
Good point.
Coppell likely will end the season undefeated at 10-0, and that would make Marcus 3-4 in district play.
Mm-hmm.
So Hebron is currently sitting at 3-3. Flower Mound is sitting at 2-4. If you remember, Flower Mound got off to an incredible start. They were 3-0 for the first time in years. And then they took a loss to Guyer, took a loss to Louisville, Marcus and Coppell all in these three straight weeks.
Mm-hmm.
So if Hebron wins tomorrow, they'll go to 4-3 in district. And they're going to secure that fourth spot.
Mm-hmm.
It would be Coppell leading the district. Louisville is locked in, and Denton Guyer. So that would get them to being, I believe, they would go D2 because Coppell and Louisville
Correct.
Are guaranteed to go D1.
Mm-hmm.
Guyer is guaranteed to go D2. Correct. They are like the smallest one in that district.
Correct.
So there's one spot in D2 left. If Flower Mound wins, that makes them 3-4, Hebron 3-4, and Marcus 3-4. Mm-hmm. So you're looking at a three-way tie for the fourth place spot,
mm-hmm.
which is wild.
That's great. Yeah. That district is very tightly compacted.
Yeah.
And
Hebron has the win over Marcus.
Yes.
Marcus has a win over Flower Mound by 1 point. So it's likely that Hebron would still end up getting it because whatever tiebreaker.
You're gonna call me a homer, but you're going to call me a homer anyway, so might as well. Like, Coppell is pretty clearly the best team in that district.
You're a homer, but yes, that's correct.
And then the next five teams, I think, are separated by about a touchdown, like on a neutral site.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, they're all, like, Guyer and Flower Mound and Marcus and Hebron.
Yeah.
Right?
Louisville and Guyer are neck and neck.
All those teams, like, I think that all that's, it, like, this is what happens when you get a really compact, like, competitive district. And you're right. This is a huge game.
Well, and to be, for me, what's wild about it is, especially when you get to 6A and you start looking at the enrollments, the fact that the D1 teams are absolutely locked in, so it that team will absolutely go D2, is also not normal, because sometimes it is completely the opposite way.
Yeah, exactly right. Who do you like in this one?
I think I'm going to go Hebron.
Okay.
I think I'm going to go Hebron. I think I've been a little bit more impressed with what Hebron brings to the table offensively.
So there is a, I'll tell you what, there is a time not long ago where, it's called Brian Brazel Stadium after the late great Brian Brazel, but like I always known as the Woodshed.
Mm-hmm.
There is a time not long ago, before your time though, that you didn't want to go into the Woodshed.
No.
That was a tough place to play.
I was at the very tail end of that, under when Brian Brazel still had him kind of cooking in that like 18-19.
That is
stretch.
It's something to keep an eye on, and so I think home field advantage matters there.
Great stadium.
I think I like Hebron too.
You know, that's the first stadium that I went to for on assignment for for Dave Campbell's.
Wow.
Yeah.
Memories here on your five year anniversary.
So Flower Mound and Hebron. Compelling Mountain. Stuff.
Great stuff. My, where's this game being played?
I love this.
Where is this game being played?
I'm loving every second of this.
All right. Let's go 7:30 p.m.
Chicks rock.
7:30 p.m. Friday night at Longhorn Stadium in Hampshire.
Okay.
Going southeast Texas way.
Turn them horns loose.
As the Hampshire Fennett Longhorns welcome in the West Orange Stark Mustangs in a District 9-4A Division 2 decider, and an opportunity for us to really start laying the groundwork for what Region 3 is going to look like in 4A Division 2. So we talked earlier when we were doing the Week 10 recap, talked about Graham's big win over Brock and how it felt like Brock or Graham became the clear favorite in Region 1.
Yeah.
I think by virtue of not only how well Carthage has played, but also that they're Carthage, and also that I feel like maybe Gilmer and Pleasant Grove have fallen back to the pack a little bit.
Yeah, I think that they're more normal this year.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, they have Gilmer has a way of making me look dumb. But I don't think I'm out on a limb saying Carthage is the favorite in Region 2. Is that fair? Are you down with that?
That seems like a wild accusation.
I think there are two. Let's go to Region 4. We'll skip over Region 3 for a moment. Region 4. I think there's two teams in Region 4. You can go with All Reliable in Wimberley, who's won that region since time immemorial.
And is now healthy, which makes them dangerous.
Or you can go with Sinton, who has looked terrific and has an excellent resume and looks like and is now the number two team in 4A Division 2.
And is going to be a better defense than a lot of those teams have played.
Absolutely. So I think you've got clear understandings of Region 1. Mm-hmm. Graham, Brock would love another piece of them.
Yep.
Carthage, but they've got Gilmer and Pleasant Grove there. And then you've got Wimberley or Sinton, take your pick, in Region 4.
Mm-hmm.
I present to you Region 3.
It is chaos.
Where it's like, okay. I will tell you this. I think the winner of this game, Hampshire Fennett and West Orange Stark, will tell us a lot about this. I love...
Silsby.
Silsby's taken some losses, mm-hmm. but I think that you're right. I think that they've got to be considered in that mix as well. Let me tell you something about Hampshire Finette. Okay? These boys can score.
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you that. Ty Bryson is a dude.
He really is.
He's a lot of fun to watch. Their quarterback has been terrific. I will also tell you that I really am impressed with what West Orange Stark has put together offensively with this quarterback, Marcus Turner Jr. I think Hiawatha Hickman has really kind of let him rip, and as a result, they've been really dangerous. Now, they're also playing, I think, really good defense there, per mm-hmm. usual, is West Orange Stark. That's their calling card. I think when you take a look, what is more interesting about this is obviously, look, you want to win a district championship. District title's on the line. You want to win a district title. This is a good matchup here, I think, for both of these teams, each of whom already have a win over Silsby and Jasper. And, you know, you look at Hampshire Finette, their one loss in the year is to Hitchcock, which has aged pretty well, even if it's a 3A team.
Mm-hmm.
West Orange Stark has that win over Newton. They've got a win over Waco La Vega, which has aged very well for reasons we'll talk about. Their one loss in the year is to Nederland.
Mm-hmm.
1-point loss, aged pretty well. When you take a look at Region 3, it could be anybody's ballgame, mm-hmm. right? When you take a look at, obviously, these two teams, you add in La Vega.
I was going to say, if I'm Don Hyde, like, this is the year. Because the earliest that mm-hmm. they would likely see one of these teams would mm-hmm. be the regional semis.
I'm not done with Robinson.
No.
I'm not out on Madisonville. I'm not even out on Waco Conley. They've got the dudes.
Belleville. We haven't even mentioned Belleville.
And Belleville as well. They have got these. This is a loaded region.
Mm-hmm.
We will start to sort it out with this game.
Yeah.
The winner of this game, I think, jumps up to that upper crust in Region 3. And we can start talking about them in terms of, like, what's their path look like? And especially in a region like this, you want to finish as high as possible because you're going to get landmines earlier and earlier mm-hmm. when you the lower you finish. Hampshire Finette and West Orange Stark is one of those games that's not only it's a terrific top 10 matchup now in 5A or in 4A Division 2, but it is also one rife with short-term and long-term playoff implications. So a huge, huge game in Week 11, Hampshire Finette and West Orange Stark. What is your fourth pick, Ashley?
Your Southeast Texas just keeps showing.
Oh, yeah?
Do you realize that?
Why?
You just really like Southeast Texas.
Yeah, people know this. I'm a Southeast Texas homer.
Yeah.
I think people know this.
Many people are saying.
I've been accused. Jacques-used. Of that.
7:30 p.m. Friday night.
In Lano.
No.
Who's Lano playing?
Goodness.
I can look this up.
They beat Randolph, yeah, so they would have to mess up really bad tonight.
They play Ingram, Tom Moore.
Okay.
They should win that game.
And then district champs.
But that Ingram. It's in Ingram. Anyway, go on.
That's a hostile environment. In Rockwall County, in District 10-6A, Forney is taking on Rockwall Heath, which all of a sudden got a little bit more interesting.
A lot of bit interesting
when Rockwall Heath beat Rockwall last week.
When Rodney Webb beat his old team.
Very interesting now. So, you take a look at that district, and we're getting real sicko on this one. Longview is 5-0. They're playing an 0-5 Royce City team.
They're in.
Not only are they in, they should win the district championship, and they will solidify a Division 2 spot. Yep. They are the smallest program out of any of those schools, mm-hmm. so they are locked and loaded in D2. They'll get the number one seed there.
I think they could even lose this game. They could spit the bid against a
and they would still
team,
be,
they're
yeah.
a lot better than. I think this is a literally meaningless game for, yes. as far as playoffs are concerned.
North Forney mm-hmm. is playing Rockwall.
Mm-hmm.
That one is a little bit more interesting. That's going for like.
No, North Forney's playing Rockwall Heath.
Forney's playing Rockwall Heath. Did I get that wrong?
Let's see. Hold on. I've got this written down. Yes, Forney's playing Rockwall Heath.
Yes, North Forney is playing Rockwall.
Correct.
Yes. So. North Forney and Rockwall are playing, and that is interesting because they're currently seated as 2 and 3 in that district mm-hmm. right now. So, obviously, they're basically vying for that second place spot in the overall district
Correct.
Standings. So, back to Forney and Rockwall Heath, the game that I am interested in. Rockwall will for sure go D1. Mm-hmm. Even if they lost to North Forney, they would still be in the playoffs and they would go D1.
Mm-hmm.
Rockwall Heath, if they beat Forney,
mm-hmm.
then Rockwall Heath would go up to D1,
mm-hmm.
And if Forney wins, then North Forney would go D1.
Correct.
So Forney and Rockwall Heath are playing for the fourth place spot in this district.
Oh, no. Rockwall Heath and Forney is a straight-up playoff game.
It is a playoff game. They are playing for the fourth spot.
We'll figure out seeds when we get there, mm-hmm. but, like, the winner is going to the playoffs, and the loser is blowing up basketballs.
Yes. And so, again, but it does have big implications on where North Forney goes because of mm-hmm. enrollment.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, if Rockwall wins, North Forney is going D2. If Forney wins, wins, then North Forney is going D1. Everybody catching up with me here?
The problem is that there's a Rockwall and a Rockwall Heath and a Forney
and a North Forney.
Forney. And
so
they're all playing each other, basically.
Yeah, I just farted in my brain.
Rockwall and Heath. Forget the word Rockwall. It's Forney and Heath.
Yes.
Forney and Heath are playing each other.
So but that all depends on where North Forney will end up. North Forney is in. Rockwall
Correct.
Is in. They will both be in the playoffs.
Correct.
It just depends on is North Forney going D1 or is North Forney going D2. And that the only thing that matters there is if Forney wins or if Rockwall Heath wins.
And by the way, the only thing that really trying to figure this out. I am fairly certain that if Heath hadn't beaten Rockwall, this would be a non-issue.
It would be a non-starter.
Heath's upset of Rockwall mm-hmm. last week was so massive for them.
Yes.
Here's the other thing.
Because realistically, that would have dropped Heath down to 1-4, and they would not even be in contention.
So here's the thing about this, because this is a matchup of 4 and 5 teams. This is mm-hmm. a real hipster game, honestly. But because
I've got a better hipster game.
But obviously because of the implications here. Here's the thing about Forney, okay? Forney was a team that I had real high hopes for, making the leap to 6A,
mm-hmm.
high hope for, because they've got dudes, Javion Osborne and guys like that.
They're a prospect farm
They're
out there.
They're loaded, absolutely loaded. But the issue is, I don't think they can stop anybody.
No. The defense
Their defense
has
been struggling.
Bad.
It's been struggling.
It has been very bad.
But here's the thing. Rockwall Heath has not exactly been this bastion of defensive, like, the
Oh, there's going to be
either.
No defense played in this game.
I think this game is in the 40s.
Yes. I think the first one of 45 wins.
Where is this game? This game in Forney?
No, it's at Rockwall Heath.
It's in Rockwall?
Mm-hmm.
I think I like Heath. I think I trust their defense just a little bit, and I wonder if, coming off of a big emotional win, if they mm-hmm. ride that like this, basically the second chance.
Yeah. I think I'm going to go with Forney. I think I'm going to disagree with you here, because Heath is playing with a sophomore quarterback, and this is a
big-time
pressure game, which Forney last year had such an incredible successful year. They went all the way to the state semifinals. Jeff Fleener knows how to get those guys working. If they can have even an ounce, I'm not even talking about like a full cup size, just an ounce of defense. Teeny baby ounce of defense. I think that they can put enough pressure in a massive game situation and disrupt a very young Rockwall Heath offense.
It's an excellent pick there.
Thank you. Straight sicko stuff today.
Boy, where do I want to go? There's a few different opportunities
here. That's my executive producer right there.
Okay.
Anyway,
I got to find out where this game is. You guys talk amongst yourselves.
Did you like my picks?
I love them.
I need to figure out what
Are you going
to
be locked in to Forney and Rockwall Heath?
Locked.
Just completely
locked.
In
I
tune.
I will probably confuse.
See, I should have looked this up beforehand.
Which Forney will be playing which Rockwall.
Yeah. Oh, no, it's going to be bad. Okay.
What do you need?
No, I'm looking this up. You'll understand here in just a second. All right, here we go. It is.
Is this a first
7 o'clock. This is why you subscribe, because otherwise you'll be hearing this late. 7 o'clock. Thursday night at the Star in Frisco. That's why I had to look it up, because they have 9 million stadiums.
They do, yeah.
And they play on Thursdays, Fridays, Saturdays.
Yeah.
It is the Frisco Lone Star Rangers.
This is a good one.
Taking on the Frisco Reedy Lions for a District 5-5A Division I championship. And it's the question everyone's asking. Hey, Lone Star, you up? Like, what's going on here?
Yeah, it's been
Because for Lone Star, They were cruising along. I think they were like number two in the state. They were cruising along, undefeated. Everything's looking fantastic. And then
Wakeland happened.
Wakeland came around and dropped a turd in the punch bowl.
Dude, they ripped all their hopes and dreams straight out from underneath them from 100 yards out.
They were cruising. And then suddenly, they get into an absolute dogfight with Wakeland.
In overtime.
In overtime. They are literally running to the goal line with the ball.
When the turd popped out.
As did the football. It's picked up and run back the other way for a Wakeland touchdown. Now, Lone Star got right last week. They played Frisco Lebanon Trail. They're a lot better than Lebanon Trail. They hung 63 on them, got a little bit of...
Lebanon Trail's...
And I'll tell you, like, this Lone Star team, like, by the way, they have a win over Argyle, the only one over Argyle. It's very impressive. This Lone Star team, Carice Hoyt, their dual threat quarterback, he's a dog. Mm-hmm. He's a lot of fun to watch. They've got Bryson Jones on the outside, Javian Gross, who is their kind of do-it-all athlete. He does a little bit of everything for them.
Have you seen that interview with the college player that's, it was like an offensive, sidebar, it was an offensive lineman, and he was trying to describe his teammates, and he would say their name and just go, dog.
He's a dog.
He's a dog.
He is. Well, here's Reedy. And if I'm Reedy,
mm-hmm.
I'm like, what do we got to do to get noticed?
Yeah.
Like, what? They are undefeated in district play. Their one loss on the year was back in week two. They lost to Emerson by a score. Okay? Since then, Chad Cole's ball club has been perfect. Mm-hmm. They have been very, very strong. And what I appreciate about them is that their defense has been doing work. Their defense has been excellent all year long. And they are, that is where Chad Cole's team has hung their hat. And they have got dudes on the defensive side, guys like Jackson Jennings and guys like Carson Cole. This defense has been strong all year long. The offense comes and goes sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Their offense hasn't been super consistent. I think part of it is that, like, their quarterback Jake Ferner has been good, and they run the ball well with Jarrett Walker. But their defense, like, I think they have trouble finishing drives.
Mm-hmm.
This is a game where, one, will the real Lone Star please stand up? Two, like, is it, like, to me, if you're Lone Star, by the way, the winner of this game wins the district.
Yep.
And if you are, let me make sure I know this. Yeah, if you are, if you're Lone Star, you're in danger of finishing third in district if you lose this game.
Which is insane.
Mm-hmm.
That literally one overtime play.
Correct.
Made the collapse happen.
It made everything. So for Lone Star, especially in Region 2, you want to finish pretty high. This is, I think, but for them, if they win this game, you beat Reedy, you win the district championship, that loss to Wakeland is a weird, fun, hey, remember when that happened? Ha ha ha. Literally, it becomes like a nothing burger mm-hmm. for you. But if you're Reedy and you drag them into a rock fight and you drag them into the mud and you make it a low-scoring slugfest and make them go stop for stop.
Yeah. That's not,
they can
that's
win this
not,
game.
Yeah,
this is a game of pace.
Mm-hmm.
Lone Star wants to get out and run. And if this game's in the 40s, I know who won.
Track Star, yep.
But if this game's in the 20s or like low 30s, Reedy can win this ball game. I like Lone Star. I'm still a believer.
Yeah.
But this is a really interesting game with a lot of playoff implications. And for Lone Star, a team that, again, we had second in the state at one point.
Mm-hmm.
They could suddenly be kind of staring at a road game in the first round of the playoffs, which would be pretty inconceivable.
At the Star,
Frisco. All right, what is your fifth and final pick?
All right, I was going to go for another like crazy lengthy district explanation, but I feel like I've done that a lot, so I'm actually going to go for a good game before we do our hipster game.
Okay.
How about we go out?
A good game. All these games are good. We love
them. They are.
We love all these games.
But this is especially good game.
Okay.
For a district championship. 7:30 p.m. Friday night in Matagorda County. You know it? 15-4A Division I. As the incredible mascot matchup. Port Lavaca Calhoun Sandcrabs taking on the Bay City Black Cats.
This is an excellent mascot matchup and an excellent football game.
It's a fantastic. Both are 4-0 in district. Mm-hmm. This is straight up for the district championship. Mm-hmm. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. Robert Jones has his guys going. The Black Cats going. Obviously, they moved to Region 4 this year, so that's a very notable mm-hmm. thing as we start taking a look at their playoff path. But everyone knows for Bay City, the straw that stirs the drink is their three-year starter and senior at quarterback, Alex Estrada.
Alex Estrada rocks, man.
He's a football dude that rocks.
He rocks. Dude rock.
Yeah,
he's coming to the banquet.
He's definitely. I don't know if he gets to choose his own lobster yet. Maybe if he
wins this game, he might get to choose his own lobster.
Yeah, that's right. Yes.
But he's already over 2,000 yards passing on mm-hmm. the season. He has 24 touchdowns in the air, 3 touchdowns on the ground. Mm-hmm. He's really been incredible. What I love about this team too is I think that Jada Andrews, their running back, gives them such a balanced attack. And it's lethal. Not to mention their defenses look great. For Port Lavaca, they're doing Coach Whitaker things. They are utilizing the option.
Lighting up that double slot. And
running it to perfection.
Run the damn ball.
I think a big thing for Port Lavaca has been Alex Parker, their quarterback, mm-hmm. because obviously when you're running that style of offense, you're not asking him to make these incredible throws and do all this crazy stuff. You know, it's just kind of, hey, be the leader of the offense and the traffic cop.
He doesn't have to put it up 40 times a game, no.
No. Mm-mm. He's just being traffic mm-hmm. cop, and him being in his third year as a starter for Port Lavaca, his traffic copping is mm-hmm. traffic copping. Mm-hmm. So, and then the other side of that is their junior running back, Isaiah Carabalas, I think.
Nailed it.
Sounds right.
Just say it.
He's a star on both sides of the ball. He's leading their defense as well. So I think this one is a very, very fun matchup. I think that it's gonna be a low scoring slugfest would kind of be my mm-hmm. my take on this one. But here's the real thing that caught my interest. One, it's for a district championship. It's a really good game, two very good teams. But I think that the seeding in this one really, really pays dividends into who makes the longer playoff run. Mm-hmm. Because if you end up first, I think that you're probably likely to come out of that side of, or the bracket, that half of the region, I guess you could say.
Let's take a look at that.
In the regional finals, I think that you're probably the favorite. If you finish second, I think that you're going to be facing a team like Austin LBJ in the regional semifinals.
So you're exactly right. The winner of this game, kind of looking at the way the bracket breaks down, let me put it to you this way. The loser of this game is probably getting Davenport in the second round and then LBJ in the third round.
And that is a difficult playoff path.
The loser of this game goes to what we call the dirty side of the region.
Yes.
Like, they go to the dirty side of the region.
And the winner...
The winner would get a team from the Valley, and then they'd get Fredericksburg, and then they'd get Cal Allen. And Cal Allen's a decent team, but like
I think both of these teams are better than
that. I agree with that.
So I think, yes, the district championship matters, but it matters in my mind even more for playoff seeding. Yeah. That's what really I think is kind of that underlying intrigue to this mm-hmm. game of an already very good game.
It's a good pick.
Thank you.
It's a good pick. All right. So that game is at Black Cat Memorial Stadium mm-hmm. in Matagorda County. Black Cat Memorial Stadium seats, according to our friend Texas Bob, shout out Texas Bob, seats 8,500 souls.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Let's go to a stadium that seats 500.
Do not take my hipster pick. I'm going to be so mad.
7 o'clock, Friday night, 7:30 p.m. I should get that right.
No.
At Cougar Stadium in Aquila.
Oh, okay. 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 Ooh, we're good. I have an even more hipster game.
At 7:30 p.m.
I almost took this game.
At Cougar Stadium in Aquila. It is a matchup of unbeatens for the district 11-1A Division I title game. We're talking six-man football.
Jesus. Aquila.
Aquila and Abbott.
Straight up district championship.
District championship, undefeated, looking great. Both these teams are in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. They're getting in. But this is a seeding game, obviously. And remember, in six-man football, 1A, only the top two teams get in the playoffs, not the top four. Okay. So they're both in. Both have been bobbing along. Aquila's been the better story. Aquila's been the bigger surprise. And a part of that is that they are, and unsurprisingly, they have found a freshman running back. T.C. Hennig is probably their spread back. Is probably mm-hmm. the place. T.C. Hennig.
Yo, Big Thunder.
Has thrown for 5 touchdowns. He's run for 18. He's caught 3 touchdown passes. They have got a dude. And by the way, T.C. Hennig also leading the team in tackles. T.C. Hennig has an interception on the year. T.C. Hennig does everything for them.
Mm-hmm.
He's awesome. Numeral zero in your scorebook.
Numeral zero and number numeral one zero. In your heart.
T.C. Henning's been great. He has been the big reason why they're 9-0 right now. Abbott, I think, was expected to be here.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Yeah.
Even under a first... I think the only question we had was first-year head coach Kyle Crawford taking over for his dad. Like, is there a letdown because he's a first-time head coach mm-hmm. and stuff like that? No letdown. 9-0, rolling past people, and the guys that we thought were going to be great, Joey Pavelka, Riley Sestala, Mason Hell, Paxton Pajowski, they've been great. They're loaded. They were a known commodity coming into the season. They have played to their paper. Mm-hmm. Aquila was the bit of the surprise that is 9-0 and now has an opportunity to grab the district championship. I like Abbott on the road in this one for two reasons.
Okay.
One, if Terry Crawford taught his son anything, it is you gotta make sure you just take away the thing that the one guy who does the work for the team.
Yep.
The straw that stirs the drink. I think they are gonna have a plan to contain T.C. Henning.
Mm-hmm.
That's number one. Number two, I think that Abbott simply has more ways to beat you.
Yeah.
They have a variety of different ways that they can win a low scoring slugfest if you need it to. But I think they've got more ways to beat you. I've got a third reason.
Okay.
I just thought of it.
Keep going.
Abbott is more battle-tested.
Oh, okay? Yeah. Yeah, their non-district slate was insane.
Abbott's, Aquila's opponents have a combined record of, do I have this here? I do not. Oh, 39 and 52.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? That includes Abbott, by the way. 39 and 52. Abbott's combined record of 49 and 42. They have a win over Oglesby. That's a signature win.
Mm-hmm.
They have a win over Blum.
Blum!
They have a win over Fort Worth Covenant Classical, which is a really good private school. They've got a win over Borden County. They are the more battle-tested team. I think that matters in a district championship game. This is everything's new for Aquila. I think it's a little bit too much too soon for them. Mm-hmm. I think they're going to be a problem down the road, but I think that they're the favorite. I think Abbott's the favorite in this one. I like Abbott and Aquila as my fifth and final pick. So there you have it. That is our that is our game draft. I forgot to write down your other ones. Bay City Calhoun, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Pickle took Stanford, Holly, Nederland, Montgomery, Hebron, Flower Mound, Forney, Rockwall Heath, and Bay City and Port Lavaca Calhoun. I took Galena Park, North Shore, Humble Summer Creek, Malakoff and Winsboro, West Orange, Stark, Hampshire, Finette, Frisco, Lone Star, and Frisco Reedy, and Aquila and Abbott. Really spanned the state there.
We hit a lot of regions and a lot of classifications.
A lot of games out there. A lot of games. Okay. Now time for our hipster game of the week. So the hipster game of the week, for those who don't know, is where we select a game that is a little bit off the board. This is probably the last hipster game of the week, simply because
it's hard to do in playoffs. Yeah.
So you get the last one of the year.
Let's go.
Look at us. It's a game that's off the board that we're interested in that you may not be thinking about, but we are thinking about nothing else. Ashley Pickle. You got this big, dumb grin on your face.
I know. I'm so excited for you to hear this.
What is your hipster game of the week? I guess I should also mention, for those people who don't watch this show, we do not talk before the show. This
no.
is all very genuine and kind of off the dome.
Yeah, so. I was like, you had no idea what I was picking.
I had no idea
picking.
What this is. No.
So, in the vein of Step not being here, I'm doing a game that Step would never talk about. 7:30 p.m. Uh-huh. at beautiful... J.M. Whitefield.
J.M. Whitefield. Uh-uh.
As the Milford Bulldogs take on the Blum Bobcats.
Hell yeah.
I can't believe you took Abbott and Aquila, because that is like half of what I was going to talk about with my Blum matchup.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
We each had a six-man
game. We each had a six-man. Yeah. And that's why I was like...
In Central Texas, too. We both had Central Texas six-man games.
Yeah, I was like, oh, I'll take this because Step never talks six-man, so I'll give six-man. Okay, but this one is very important.
It is.
Okay?
Oh, yeah.
So it's in District 9 of 1A Division 1.
Mm-hmm.
Avalon is going to win that district. They're okay. trying to go 11-0 with a win over Covington this week. And all due respect to Covington, this is going to be eagle-on-eagle violence, and Avalon should completely win. This one should not be close.
I think you're right.
So, again, as you mentioned, in six-man, there's only two playoff spots. Mm-hmm. So this is Blum and Milford playing for that playoff spot. Mm-hmm. This is a playoff game, win or go home. it gets even more interesting based off the playoff path, kind of like you were talking about. So District 9 would end up playing District 10 in the first round of the playoffs. So it is likely that the loser would have to end up playing St. Joe, a state-ranked
undefeated,
undefeated St. Joe team in the first round of the playoffs.
I think you're right.
Not fun.
Correct.
They actually, but it could be Union Hill. Those are the only two options. Yes. Those two teams are going to end up playing one or the other. Union Hill and St. Joe are playing on Friday for the district championship. So they'll get their matchups from there. Either one probably wouldn't want to play either of them. Mm-hmm. So, but you definitely don't want to be the loser of that. Then if you get back that top seed out of District 10, then in area, you're likely hit with Abbott or Aquila, both out of District 11, who, as you just mentioned, are playing for their district title. Both so we have Region 3 of six man, of 1A Division 1 is absolute chaos.
It is.
And so Blum
it's very
and Milford,
good, very talented, but nothing settled.
Nothing settled. We have no idea. Like, if we were trying to lay out what those brackets look like, a lot of times at this point in the year, you can take a pretty educated guess, or some of them are already locked in. There's not, like, a single thing that you can lock down in Region 3, and they're all going to end up playing each other. But having to go through the loser of Milford and Blum likely having to go through St. Joe, and then the next week, if they made it that far, would be either Aquila or Abbott. That is a treacherous walk for these two teams. So a winner-get-in hipster game between Milford and Blum.
Good job. Good hipster pick. My hipster game of the week. We're going east. We're going to East Texas.
East Texas?
It is going down 7:30 p.m. Friday night at Wolf Stadium in St. Augustine. Ashley Pickle.
Yeah.
What if I were to tell you that a reigning state champ might be out of the playoffs?
I thought about this one.
As the St. Augustine Wolves welcome in the Timpson Bears. Timpson's had a weird year. They've been we knew that there was going to be questions about them because Terry Bussey is now returning punts for Texas A&M and not doing everything for Timpson.
Yeah.
But we thought that, like, okay, he was far from the only team. That was a really loaded team. They got plenty of guys left over. Well, J.J. Garner's been on and off the field, basically.
He's been
banged up. He's been really banged up.
And Vosky's still there, right? But
I don't know if he's on the roster.
Yeah. But so, that was part of the reasoning of why we thought they wouldn't fall off
very much.
We thought
that they've got playmakers, right? But even with, you know, new coach taking over, we thought that they were going to bounce back. I think the injury bug has caught them, and I think a little bit of the mystique is gone.
Yeah.
Like, they're just not as dangerous. They're not viewed as, like, this team that, like, oh my gosh, when you walk off the bus, it's Timpson.
You see Timpson across the chest.
Well, now you have an opportunity. You can get back into the playoffs in a true playoff game. Win and in. Lose and go home against St. Augustine. St. Augustine is... This is before your time. Maybe you were here for the beginning or the end of it. Before Timpson came along, Region 3 was owned by St. Augustine.
That's before my time.
For about a 3 or 4 year stretch, they were the team in Region 3 in 2A Division 1. The team. They fell off. They had a couple of lean years. They're getting back to it. They are extremely young, okay? Their top 9 rushers. They have, I believe it's 11 guys who have carried the ball at least 3 times this year. 9 of them are sophomores or juniors. They are
crazy. That's bad news for Region 3
young.
Moving forward.
Andrew Nash is probably the tip of the spear for what they do, but they've also got a sophomore quarterback in Max Renfro who's been solid for them. They've had an up and down year as well, but I think that it's a little bit more, and a lot of that comes from just like their offense will no-show on you, plain and simple, because I think that's a mark of a young program. This is two programs that I think are respectfully heading in different directions. I think I think St. Augustine might be a year early. And I think right now it might be the year after the year for Timpson.
Yeah.
Where do they meet? One of them's getting the playoffs. One of them's going home. It's a fascinating. It's a game that, like, a couple years ago would have been like, a draft pick, but now it's a hipster game. Yeah. And it's a huge game at Wolf City, and potentially we could already eliminate a state champion in this one. There, Timpson and St. Augustine. That's my hipster game of the week. All right. Oh, where are you going this week? You want to tell me about your travels?
I think I might be going...
Are you going to a game?
I think so.
Wow. Sick. I'm working Saturday, so I'm not going to a game. You're going to be on the Dave Campbell's Texas Football Tonight.
I think maybe Mansfield Summit and Arlington Seguin.
Oh, okay. Cool.
That's the hope. We'll see how...
Seguin's got to win that game to get in.
Mm-hmm. We'll see how, which would be like an incredible, mm-hmm. incredible oh, yeah. season for them.
Oh, yeah.
But we'll see how much playoff volleyball I have on my schedule.
That's a great point. And then, of course, we'll have Dave Campbell's Texas Football Tonight. But if you haven't heard, we're announcing it on Thursday. But we might. Can we tell the podcast people?
Oh my goodness! Tell the podcast people.
So this is a premium exclusive. But of course, if you're watching this live on Friday, then you should already know. Instead of doing our normal whip around coverage on Dave Campbell's Texas Football Tonight,
we'll do a little bit of it.
But we are
at halftime
giving away live on YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter Galena Park North Shore versus Humble Summer Creek with live commentary from myself, Ishmael Johnson, Ashley Pickle.
Let's go.
We're going to be giving it away. You can watch the game live for free. YouTube, and Twitter. But you're a subscriber, hopefully, so you already know. But we'll be streaming that game on Texas Football Tonight in lieu of our normal show, because on Saturday we're gearing up for
our Dave Campbell's Texan Live, Texas Football Tonight, all of the things. Playoff bracket reveal show. So we will, for the first time, be doing a show revealing the 12 UIL playoff brackets from 1A Division 2 all the way up to 6A Division 1. We'll have full coverage. Steph will actually be back from Canada for that.
Sitting in that chair.
Yeah, Tepper and Steph up here. We'll have Mallory Hartley, Carter Yates, Greg Powers, V&A, and I will be here too. But this is the only place that you can find exclusive reveal of all 12 brackets for the playoffs. So we are so excited. You can watch it anywhere that you would normally be watching the show on Friday. So YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, or Texan Live.
We're very fired up about it.
Super fired up.
Let's go over to V&A Moreno to find out, hey, V&A, what'd you write down?
First of all, I want to thank Pickle for being here.
Oh, thanks.
Okay, what an odd thing. I'm here, too.
No.
Okay.
Anyways.
yes, okay.
Tepper, you're great and all. Okay. First up, Bevy of Abels.
There's a bevy of Abels. That's the collective. That's the collective.
The royal we of the Abels.
Yeah, it's the collective. It's like a murder of crows, a bevy of Abels. Exactly. Yeah.
That was like my favorite. Don't punch Atascocita in the nose.
Don't do it. Just don't do it generally.
So anybody should not.
Even like great teams don't do it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Chicks Rock.
Hell yeah. Hammer
hey,
that.
Lone Star. You up?
Yeah, that's my question.
Sends that to Jeff Rayburn.
Who is this girl? Yeah. Another one of my favorites. Will the real Lone Star please stand?
That's the truth. I want to know. Like, I want to know.
Are they?
Like, are they the team that has been demolishing teams, or are they the team that spit the bit against?
Yeah, Wayne? I appreciated that.
That's it.
And finally, numeral zero. Oh, is that what you said?
Yeah, the numeral. Yeah, because
my
so this is true.
My Mexican self thought numeral.
So this is true. Last night, my wife and I went to the Mavericks game, and Anthony Black, the former Coppell and Duncanville basketball player, is playing for the Orlando Magic, and he wears zero. And the announcer correctly, whenever he scored, said he would say, or it's like a foul on. He's like numeral zero, Anthony Black, because zero is not a number.
Not a number.
It's a numeral.
Numeral.
Mm-hmm.
Whoa.
Mm-hmm. Or numero.
Or numero zero. Numero
zero.
One.
Zero.
Math zero. Tuesday.
Math Tuesday.
Numero
Math
one Tuesday. In your heart. And that's that on that.
Okay.
On pick and tip.
I was surprised nothing about tit. Turds got put in there. I feel like we used quite a few turd references.
We did.
Oh, wait. Yeah. Yes, the turd popped out.
Yeah. That's going to do it for us. Thanks for being a Dave Campbell's Texas Football subscriber. Pickle, thanks for your courage.
Yeah. Thanks for having me.
Talk to you next week for the big bi-district preview on Tep and Step.
Bye.
Bye.